Last time, I said there's two doctrines Paul teaches for the church. Churches, those that are called by God in Christ. Those are called by God to be in Christ and thereby receive the inheritance that is in Christ, which is a forgiveness of sin, a righteousness, and to get made sanctified. So, Jesus Christ purchased the church with his blood. The love of God sent Christ to die on the cross for your sin. The love of God included you personally in what Jesus did on the cross. So you were included in what Jesus did in buying the church, buying the individual members of the church from Satan. Satan had illegal right to your soul because you sinned against God, and the word of God says the soul that sins shall die. Christ was sent by God to die for your sin, purchase your soul with his blood. So that you could escape the wrath of God for your sin. Get your sin forgiven and receive the whole inheritance of those that are in Christ. Because when you believe Christ died for your sins, you were made a son of God. Whether male or female Christian, you were made an inheritor of the inheritance that God had chosen to give the church, which is forgiveness of sin, a righteousness, which is the righteousness of Christ. And when you believe Christ died for your sins, you get a born again on the inside, which means God makes your spirit holy. So Paul said to Jesus said to Paul that he wants him to go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles for the purpose of them receiving the forgiveness of sin, and inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. So when Jesus sent Paul out, it was so that people could receive forgiveness of sin and the inheritance among them that are sanctified. Sanctified means to be set apart and be made holy. So, you were sanctified in that your spirit was set apart, made holy. Your spirit got made holy in Christ when you believe Christ died for your sins. So your spirit doesn't have a sinful nature, it has a holy nature. And your spirit's been made to submit to God in being born again. So Jesus sent Paul out for the purpose of preaching the gospel so that the Gentiles could receive the forgiveness of sin and the inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. So it was forgiveness of sin and inheritance, and he said amongst them that are sanctified, which means they had been made sanctified. So he said three things, which was forgiveness of sin and inheritance. And being sanctified is that which is received, that is the overall inheritance received by the Christian, someone who believes Christ died for the sins and has been baptized into Christ. Okay, so when you believe Christ died for your sins, you've got your sins forgiven, you've got inheritance, and you've got sanctified. The inheritance is the whole thing, but what's missing out from the getting your sins forgiven and sanctified is receiving the righteousness of Christ. So you have an inheritance in Christ when you believe Christ died for your sins. You've got a whole package of stuff. Your forgiveness of sin, you were made righteous, you received Christ's righteousness, and you were made born again, part of which means that your spirit submits to God. So, I'll go through the mechanics of it. When you believe Christ died for your sins, your spirit was made in union with Christ. Paul said to the Corinthians that the Holy Spirit baptized you into Christ. When you were baptized into Christ, when your spirit was joined with Christ on the cross, Christ got your sin, you got his righteousness. You died, God declared you righteous. So that's how you receive the forgiveness of sin and your righteousness. Then, when you died with Christ, you also raised with Christ. So your spirit died and got born again, this time born of a holy nature. And the union in which that happened was a marriage union, which Christ is the head, the church, you individual members thereof were subject to the head, which means that when you were born again, you were born again in subjection to Christ. Your spirit submits to Christ. Christ was raised to the right hand of God. Christ, therefore, Christ submits to God. You submit to Christ, so therefore you submit to God. So God, very cleverly, made you submit to him. So your inheritance is, when you believe Christ died for your sins, is you get your sin forgiven, you get declared righteous by God. Not just declared righteous, he declares you righteous because you have Christ's righteousness, Christ's complete keeping of the law on your account. And you also get made born again, made holy on your inside, part of which means you submit to Christ. But Paul calls that sanctified, right? So Jesus talked about three things. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, when he wrote the letter to the Corinthians, talking about giving them some doctrine after meeting them, like correcting some errors that they got into. He addressed the church, those who believe Christ died for the sins of Corinth. He said, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God that is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, and with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said that those Christians at Corinth, the peace of God was with them because they were saints. Saints means they were sanctified, which means they received the inheritance. They received the inheritance of Christ, an inheritance of God in Christ, which means they were, had the sins forgiven, righteous, and they were sanctified. But he says to them, to those in Corinth that are sanctified. Now, he wrote to the Corinth Christians because some of the Corinth Christians were sleeping with, having sex with temple prostitutes, and he corrected that error. But he still called them all sanctified. So sanctified wasn't how they walked. Sanctified was what they got for free and what stayed with them after they believed. So sanctified was part of their inheritance, all right? I'm talking about this word sanctified because I want to talk about what I said last week. We'll talk about how false doctrine's against what I said last week. False, and that includes use talking about this word sanctified, right? So Paul said that they were sanctified irrespective of what they did. Then Paul said, well, later in his letter to the Corinthians, he corrects them on an error that they did, which was they were walking in not a wise way, having sex with temple prostitutes. That was not wise for them. Not a wise way for them to walk. I just want to quickly say what I actually said last week, which was Paul said, like the righteousness that you have in Christ is sealed. When you died with Christ, you put off the body of your sins and your flesh. When you died with Christ, you died to your flesh, so your righteousness is sealed. So regarding your righteousness, all things are lawful. Regarding your righteousness, fornication is lawful. Regarding your righteousness, sleeping with a prostitute is lawful. Regarding your righteousness, getting drunk is lawful. Regarding your righteousness, all those things are lawful because your righteousness is not dependent upon what you do. So he says, regarding your righteousness, all things are lawful. However, there is a secondary law of doctrine. A secondary law of doctrine that comes second to the first doctrine that you are righteous by faith and you stay righteous. There is a second law of doctrine, which is, I do not commit fornication, do not get drunk. That secondary law of doctrine is a doctrine, Paul said, this is a wise way for you to walk. Okay, so the do not get drunk, the do not commit fornication, is not related to your righteousness. It is, Paul encourages them not to do those activities for the primary purpose that it's not beneficial for them. That is it. It's not beneficial for them. So what he said, so what he meant by do not commit fornication is fornication is not beneficial for you. That's it. It's not do not commit fornication because it spoils your righteousness. It's do not commit fornication because it's not beneficial for you. So there's two lots of doctrine. There is the righteous by faith, and fornication is allowed, is permissible. That's what all things are lawful means, is allowed, is permissible. So he says you're righteous by faith, fornication is lawful, fornication is allowed. Secondary doctrine is, he said you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit edifies you and builds you up in Christ. And Paul said it's not a wise way for you to walk in a direction that's against the direction of the Holy Spirit working in you. Paul said, he was a temple of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit dwelled within him. And Paul said that it wasn't beneficial for them to walk in a way that walked against the working of the Holy Spirit within them. So therefore there's a second general doctrine to guide them in what is a wise way to walk regarding what is beneficial. Okay. So the primary doctrine was that they were righteous and all things were permissible. Fornication, getting drunk, it was all permissible regarding their righteousness. The second general doctrine, which Paul says, some things aren't beneficial for you, some things aren't good for you. And it's wise for you to walk in a way that's in accordance with the Holy Spirit, not against the Holy Spirit. And Paul said, therefore he has a load of doctrine to guide them in what is beneficial for them. But it's just what's beneficial for them. That is it. That is it. Okay? So, he said, regarding their righteousness, if they have sex with temple prostitutes, they're still righteous. He says, however, it's not useful for you. It's not good for you. It works against the working of the Holy Spirit in you. Okay, now when he addressed that, he then said a list of stuff which was not beneficial for them, okay? And he reminded them that those people that do such things, that haven't had their sins forgiven, they won't get into the kingdom of God. Okay, so he said, I know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, and nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And then he says all things are lawful, but not all things are useful. So what I wanted to say is he says they may have done those things in the past, okay? But then, he doesn't say they were washed and they were sanctified and they were justified. He says they are washed and they are sanctified and they are justified. And what that means is this. When they believed Christ died for their sins, he said they got washed, sanctified, and justified. Now, they're the same three things that Jesus talked about. Washed means getting your sins washed. Sanctified is getting made holy, and justified is getting made righteous. So the three things that Paul said they are, is the three things that Jesus said it was the inheritance that a Christian had. So Paul said that even though they've done some things, they did have their sins forgiven, they did get sanctified and they did get justified, but he said you are washed, you are sanctified and you are justified. That means that those three things that happened to them when they believed, irrespective of them having sex with temple prostitutes, their state then is they are still washed, they are still sanctified, they are still justified, right? And that is because getting the sins forgiven, getting made righteous, and getting sanctified, they were all part of the inheritance that they had that cannot be spoiled. So basically, the different thing I want to say this week than last week is I said last week, regarding your righteousness, all things are allowed. And then Paul has a secondary doctrine after that, some things aren't beneficial. What I want to say to you today, it's not just your righteousness that all things are allowed, regarding you're having your sin forgiven, all things are allowed. Regarding God declaring you righteous and you being righteous, all things are allowed. And regarding your sanctification, regarding you being set aside as a holy one and considered holy by God and being holy in your spirit and submitting, part of which is submitting to God, regarding all those things, all things are permissible for you. So all those things are in the bag, in the bank, guaranteed, laminated. They don't get spoiled by any action that you do. Okay? They don't get spoiled by any action that you do. All those things are your inheritance. So your inheritance in Christ is your redemption, which is forgiveness of sin. It is your righteousness and it is your sanctification. All things which, irrespective of what you do, you stay forgiven, your sin stays forgiven. You're righteous, you stay righteous, and you stay born again, holy, God considering you to be a holy one, sanctified by Christ. born again on the inside, and irrespective of what you do, you are sanctified. And part of that means sanctified because of the way that you're sanctified in Christ. Your spirit is in a marriage union with Christ. Him is the head. You submit to Christ. Your spirit submits to Christ. So irrespective of what you do, you still submit to Christ. God considers you sanctified in the way that you are set apart, and you submit to him irrespective of what you do. So your inheritance that is sealed in Christ doesn't just include your righteousness, it includes your salvation. That is, getting saved and being at peace with God. And it also includes you being sanctified. God considered you, God considering you to be holy. Alright? So that's the extra thing that I wanted to say. I could stop there. I just wanted to tell you what is adoption, but I'm told to just go for it, because Satan has tried to have a wild time with all these false doctrines and stuff, and I'm told if I hit this properly, then regarding this false doctrine and crew, he goes down, because this is the most, it's probably the scripture that looks like it's the most against the doctrine that I'm saying. So if I address this one and I hit it properly, then, and if this one goes down, then they all go down, because this is the most, right? So this is what Paul says to Thessalonians. He says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, and not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. And then it says, and for God has called us not unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And he therefore that despises not man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. So it's all in there regarding all the favourite lines of the established church against the stuff that I say, which is, Paul says, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Therefore, they get from that definition of holiness is don't be unclean. They say, this is the will of God for you, your sanctification. He says, Paul says, refrain from fornication, that you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God. So, if you do this secondary list, they say that's what you ought to do, and if you do it, you please God, right? So, all the words Paul uses in that, he's basically saying this. He says, I want to tell you how you ought to walk, and if you walk like the way I'm going to say, you please God. And he says, if you stay away from this unholiness, if you stay away from this uncleanness, the fornication, then that's holiness. Okay, but I want to point out all the words that he uses in the thing that he says. So, these are the words that he uses. He says, he wants them to know how everyone should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honour. Now, the doctrine that I said last week, about the secondary doctrine, Paul said, some things aren't beneficial for you. And the reasoning he gave that they're not beneficial is, he says, know you not that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, you were bought at a price by God. Paul's explanation for why there is a secondary list that's not good for them is that if they do fornication, then they work against the working of the Holy Spirit within them, which was given to them by God. He says, it's not good for you because you work against the working of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now in this one, Paul says, he tells them this doctrine so that they know how to, so that everyone knows how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honour. In honour to who? In honour to God. Because, Paul says later,
of he therefore that despises this doctrine despises not man but God who has given us his Holy Spirit. Paul's saying that he wants them to know how to possess the vessel in honour, which is honour to God, but honour to God regarding the Holy Spirit. He wants them to know how to walk around honouring, overall honouring God, but honouring God by it, not going against the Holy Spirit. Which is exactly what I said last week. Paul's explanation for something's unuseful for you is it's not good for you to walk against the working of the Holy Spirit in you. It's exactly the same doctrine. So Paul makes it quite clear. So this is the same doctrine as he gave to the Corinthians, where all things are lawful but not all things are useful. But in the other time when he talked about it in Corinthians, he says the full thing. The full thing being there's two doctrines. I'm telling you who have done some things such as fornication. If you did it and you didn't have your sin forgiven, you're not in the kingdom of God. But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified. He says, even though you've done those things, you are still washed, you are still sanctified. And he uses the word sanctified. So he says, even though they've done certain actions, even though they slept with temple prostitutes, they're still sanctified. Okay, now, in this one in Thessalonians, Paul says that he gives them this doctrine, which is the secondary doctrine, alone, because he's been to see them before and he's given them both doctrines. He gives them the secondary doctrine alone, and he says he gives them this so they know how to possess their vessel in sanctification and honour. Now, established church doctrine is that's sanctification. Established church doctrine is sanctification, is what it says at the end of Thessalonians. That's what it is, to be sanctified. But it's not. Paul uses his words very carefully. He says to the Corinthians, they are sanctified irrespective of what they do. Even though they have sex with temple prostitutes, they are still sanctified. So that sanctified is different than when he says sanctification. Okay? Now, again, there's the cry out, they already hear the established church going, ooh, two sanctified must be wrong. Just like, ooh, two chosen people of God must be wrong. And it's the most ridiculous argument that something is wrong because there's two things, not one thing. Because it's completely unintelligent. It doesn't even address what's being talked about. It just says the thing has to be wrong because there's two things instead of one thing. I said, well, where did that come from? If it's two things, it's two things. Having two bottles of water does not make it wrong compared to if you have one bottle of water. There's just two. So the idea that it can't be two things because two things is more complicated than one, it's obviously more likely to be one. It's just completely ridiculous. I'm not going to spend any more time on that doctrine. He talks about sanctifiedness in two ways. Once he goes, they are sanctified, and that is that they are holy before God. Okay? And he also mentions holiness twice. Again, we can't be two holinesses. There is two holinesses. Not two holinesses exactly the same. But here's the thing. There is two types of doctrine. Right? There's two types of doctrine. There's primary doctrine regarding your inheritance, in which all things are lawful, all things are permissible. Fornication, drunkenness, is all permissible regarding your inheritance. Your inheritance includes your sanctification, your salvation, your righteousness. It's a primary doctrine regarding those things, you being having your sin forgiven, your righteousness, and God considering you holy, and being God considering you holy. The primary doctrine is that all those things are yours by faith and they're sealed. The secondary doctrine is there's a wide way for you to walk. Okay? If you walk according to the primary doctrine and you stand upon the righteousness of God, Paul says to the Romans that being a servant, manifesting as a servant of righteousness, the righteousness being talked about is a received gift of righteousness. Paul says if you walk according to the fact that you have received the righteousness of God, he says, if you stand upon the righteousness of God, you walk according to the primary doctrine that you're righteous by faith. If you walk according to the primary doctrine that you're righteous by faith, that is your fruit into holiness. Okay? There's a secondary doctrine. What happens if you walk according to the secondary doctrine, which is some things aren't useful for you? What happens if you walk according to that secondary doctrine? Then you manifest you manifested as a sanctified one when you walked according to the first doctrine. But if you walk according to the secondary doctrine, you could also manifest as a sanctified one, as in one that is holy before God. You can, if you walk in obedience to the secondary doctrine, then that is also a secondary fruit unto holiness. So there's two fruits unto holiness regarding the two types of doctrine. The doctrine regarding your inheritance, well, Paul says you're sanctified, you've got your sins forgiven, your righteousness. If you walk according to that, you stand upon your righteousness, that is your fruit unto holiness, that's your primary fruit. That's the most way you can manifest in the world as a sanctified one, as your holiness is the fruit of the Spirit bears in a sanctified one. That the most you can bear a fruit of a sanctified one, walking in obedience to a certain type of doctrine, is walk in obedience to the primary doctrine. But what happens if you walk in obedience to the secondary doctrine, knowing that some things aren't useful? What happens if you walk according to that? That is also called holiness. But it's not the primary holiness, it's the secondary type of holiness, which is why he uses the word holiness there, and he uses the word sanctification there, as when a sanctified one manifests in the earth, and you do not do fornication because you know it's not wise. You know it's not wise, and the Holy Spirit by his power bears that fruit in you. Then your sanctification that you have in Christ as being made holy, that manifests in the earth. And it's a manifested sanctification. Right, so that is why Paul speaks to the Thessalonians at the end of his letter. He's talking about a secondary type of holiness, and he's talking about a manifested type of sanctification. And so, but it's in a complete agreement with the full picture that he gives in the as the Corinthians, in which he mentions the primary and secondary doctrine. So we sum it up again, like to the Corinthians, Paul mentions a primary doctrine and a secondary doctrine. Primary doctrine, your inheritance, being righteous, being saved, being holy, is all by faith, and it's sealed, and you can't spoil it, and therefore all things are permissible. Regarding what I said, the secondary doctrine is all things are permissible, but they're not all useful for you. Okay? At the end of Thessalonians' letter, Paul just talks about the secondary doctrine. That when he said before, his secondary doctrine to the Corinthians, he said, when I tell you this doctrine, it's not all useful. Some things aren't useful for you, and the explanation is you're a vessel of the Holy Spirit. That's the exact doctrine that Paul talks about at the end of his Thessalonians letter, because I tell you this doctrine so you know how to possess your vessel in honour. It's exactly the same thing what Paul's talking about. To possess your vessel in honour is not to walk against, is honouring God regarding the Holy Spirit, not to walk against the Holy Spirit that God sent. That is exactly what he's talking about as his secondary doctrine in the Corinthians. Okay, the reason I'm saying it is because I've told you your primary holiness before God is standing upon the righteousness of God, and the Holy and the established church goes, no. Your primary holiness is to make sure you keep this list of stay away from fornication. If you want to be holy, if you want holiness, if you want sanctification, it's doing the stuff on this second list that's not good for you. It's avoiding doing the stuff that's not good for you on the second list. But so they use scripture to say that, and I want to say, yes, it is scripture, but that scripture doesn't contradict another bit of scripture, and Paul gives a more full explanation to Corinthians. Corinthians is like 14 chapters instead of 4. He just gives a more full account. He told the gospel to them both, but his letters are to address the errors, and he gives a more full account to the Corinthians. Okay, so there's a hole that I need to, there's not a hole in what I'm saying, but there's an obvious tackle what I'm saying, which I can't remember what it is, but I remember the antidote. Which is okay, if someone, the primary fruit unto holiness is standing upon the righteousness of God, and there's a secondary fruit unto holiness, which is not walking against the Holy Spirit. So Satan can come to you and go, oh yeah, finally Paul uses the word like pleasing God regarding the second type of holiness. Okay, Paul doesn't use that phrase regarding what he said to the Corinthians, but he does make it quite clear to the Romans when he says, when they stand upon, he says they're servants of righteousness, and he says, being then servants of righteousness, you have your fruit unto holiness. So He says, when they, he says, present your instruments, present yourselves instruments of righteousness to God. He says, go up to God and say you're righteous. He says, that is how you serve God. Now, Paul says, that is how they serve God. Therefore, they please God by serving God in that way, by glorifying God, by standing on there on the righteousness of Christ. So this primary fruit to holiness pleases God. Okay? When Paul talks about the secondary doctrine, the secondary fruit unto holiness, he said that pleases God. Yeah, it does. But the first one pleases God more. Okay? So the Savage Church goes, yes. If you want to know the word of God where it says please God, look at Thessalonians, you have to keep this list, and that's how you please God. Yes, you do please God by walking according to that secondary doctrine. Well, there's a primary doctrine that beats it. And that is the primary way you please. That's the primary way you serve God. You don't just please God, you serve Him. You serve God, which includes you please God by standing upon the righteousness of God. That is your main holiness. So the what I say can be attacked falsely. If Satan goes, okay, so you can serve God in two ways, can you? You can stand upon the righteousness of God, which I have preached a lot and you've been comfortable with. Or you can also please God by walking in a way that's wise. So why don't you choose to please God today by doing more of the list of what's wise? And that is a backdoor for works. And the antidote is this, the secondary doctrine that Paul says, where it's why it's not beneficial for you to do certain things against the Holy Spirit. The first thing to say is his encouragement is not to do a thing, it's to not do a thing. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that the secondary way to please God does not contradict the first way. Right? You please God by standing upon the righteousness of God, reckoning yourself dead to sin. If Satan then tries to get you to please God in the secondary way, what it involves not you reckoning yourself dead to sin. It says, look, you're sinning. You should stop. If he tries to get you, send you down the route in not reckoning yourself dead to sin, then he says, he tries to get you to do the secondary fruit and stop doing the first. That doesn't please God because because that encourages you to not stand upon the righteousness of God. So that is the antidote to the obvious attack of what I'm saying. Primary way you can please God is to stand upon the righteousness of God. If you try to do the secondary way of pleasing God yourself, then you don't stand upon the righteousness of God, and it doesn't please God. Okay, this is the most important, probably the most second, apart from telling the thing, it's probably the most important thing, so I need to say this a few times. I'm right on the end, this is it finished, but I just need to get this end of it, say it a lot of times, because the primary way you can please God is standing on the righteousness of God. Secondary way you can please God is by is when the Holy Spirit produces that secondary fruit in you. Secondary fruit has to be produced by the Holy Spirit. You can't make that fruit yourself. So and the primary way you can please God is to trust that you're righteous before God. There's a secondary way that God can be pleased by you, but it's the secondary way that God can be pleased by you. He's only pleased in that secondary way when it's the Holy Spirit does it in you. You can't choose to do it yourself, because that contradicts the first. That contradicts the first thing. Okay, and I need to say it again because this just has to be absolutely clear, this thing. Underneath the sovereignty of God, the only way that you can please, the only way you can choose to please God is to stand upon the righteousness of God. God, however, can also be pleased with you by what he does in you for free, in giving you the desire to not want to do certain things. But he's only pleased with you in that secondary way, if it's him that completely does it in you. Okay. I need to finish this thing off in a way that's comfy for me, and it feels to me at the moment that there's still something a bit missing, because I was told to tell you this thing, right, and I have done, but it needs to be sealed off properly. I can't leave you leaving with anything else than the exact way of pleasing God, and I have to... God's pleased if he does what... God can bear his fruits in you, of love, joy and peace. One of those fruits could be goodness, which can be you walking in a way that's in accordance with the Holy Spirit in you. So God can bear his fruits in you, and he's pleased with his own fruits. Okay, and overall, what I meant before, God can be pleased with you in a secondary way, but it's only regarded him being pleased with his, bearing his own fruits in you. Okay, so I'll sum up what I've said. The stuff I said is a true interpretation of scripture, but I want to say the only way that you can please God. Okay, so overall, the stuff I said today is true in the context in which it's said. And I want to sum up what I've said, and that is, well, the only way that you can please God is standing upon the righteousness of God. That is it. That's the only way you can please God is standing upon the righteousness of God. And the only way you can do that properly is if the Holy Spirit empowers you to do it. And that is it. So, one last statement, which is to say that again. I've said it twice. And, okay, so, all the stuff I said today is true in the context in which I've said. When you believe Christ died for your sins, you receive the forgiveness of sin, the righteousness of Christ, and you were sanctified by your faith. Those things are only by faith, and irrespective of what you do regarding what I said, those things are sealed. And all things are lawful regarding those things. Regarding your walk, Paul said, all things are lawful, but they're not all useful. Okay? I'm going to say for a second time that, well, stuff said before was true in the context in which I said it. Well, the only way that you can please God today is to stand upon the righteousness of God today. And the only way that works is when the Holy Spirit empowers you to do it. Okay, that's it.